Welcome back to another episode of Camp Time is Real Time. I'm your host, Sarah LeBrec, and we are back from hiatus. I didn't even know we were going on hiatus, but we did, and more importantly, we're back. You guys, it's June 6th. We are about a month out from camp. We're ramping up again. I'm very, very excited. And I figured the only way we really could kick things off again properly was to get another cowl. Today, it's Susan Cowell. This is the person who you've seen everywhere. She worked at camp for 1 year on campus, but really was behind the scenes doing so, so much and crucially bringing us a staple counselor competition. We talked about everything in this one, about, you know, what it's like in the off season, you know, how the camp persona has developed and how we were recruiting all of those kids from Medfield. It was great. This is an excellent, excellent episode, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Let's get into the housekeeping real quick. Come on the pod. You will like it. I think everyone wants to hear from you. So give us a follow at camptime_realtime on Instagram. We're also on TikTok, camptime_realtime. Shoot me an email if you know how to do that, camptimefcdc@gmail.com. I definitely want you to come on the pod, or you and your friends, you and your camp friends. Wouldn't that be fun to talk about? I think we should do it. We're ramping back up for the summer. Those camp feelings, those camp juices are starting to flow. I know you want to talk about it. So give me a call, give me a text, shoot me an email. Let's do this. But for today, please enjoy this conversation with Susan Cowell. It was a lot of fun, and we will see you next time. Bye.
We pretty much talked about camp all year. Not every day all year, but it was definitely, you know, a main topic of conversation throughout the year. We would talk just like you guys do about, you know, skit ideas and weekly theme ideas and when Michael was here, video ideas, you know, and t-shirt colors and designs and all the things that go into the running of the camp day, mm-hmm. competitions, mostly competitions probably, because that's the part that Tom would, you know, be the one to come up with, but, you know, things like that. So,
So
that was all. And then once camp started, but I mean, from year to year, it really varied depending on who was where, like when it was just Sam and Jesse and we were just married, my job was basically running things over to camp. You know, Sam forgot his comb. Jesse doesn't have a towel. Somebody doesn't have lunch. You know, Tom needs me to go to the store and get stuff like this. So I was just a runner.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to do that. I wasn't working at camp or anything like that. But then once the kids started going, I would go over and visit camp because I wanted to see them engaging with it, right? Just like you love to see your kids.
Yeah.
Engaging. And of course there were no other parents doing that. Right. I went to every show and every video and, you know, I saw all your videos, you know, sat in the back, and I just felt like I got a really privileged view because I got to see the inside of camp from the counselor perspective without being a counselor. So I wasn't really inside,
right,
but I knew what led to all those things, you know, what preceded them.
Yeah.
So I'd say the biggest things that I was, you know, a part of was, the t-shirts, you know, figuring out the t-shirts, that was with Tom. I mean, that wasn't me, that was Tom's thing, but I was just, you know, I had a vote.
Yeah.
I voted in an opinion.
Sure. Remember that first t-shirt, those orange ones, had that been like stirring around a little bit, like we should do something, or like, do you remember how those came to be?
Yeah. So there's a counselor that had worked at camp who was in the business, Lisa, and she did the first couple of years.
Okay.
So when we were first married, or maybe not even married, and then our first year of marriage, she did the t-shirts that year. Okay. She created the logo. I mean, she took Gail and Sue's logo and created a silk screen for it and started making shirts. There had been one shirt. It was had the green ring around the arms and then the ring around the two sides. And it had been up in the stable.
Mm-hmm.
It was up on the wall. I don't know if you remember that. I think it was in the stable. It might have been somewhere else at the time, but I think.
Maybe in the barn. One of them.
Maybe in the barn.
Yeah.
Maybe it was in the barn. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, we were getting t-shirts for our teams, you know, the basketball team and the soccer team. We were all getting, that was all just starting. Nobody had practice t-shirts then.
Right.
Or before then, that was a new thing. And I said, you know, I don't know whose idea it was at first, but together in conversation, we were like, we should get t-shirts for camp, for the campers.
Yeah.
So there had been this one before. So we didn't have the very first one, but so she did it for a couple of years. And then the guy that Craig Larson, who Tom had getting all his gear at school, started doing it.
I have like a very distinct memory of the unveiling of the first one. I think it was like a Shawnee or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I was like, something I can wear about camp, like in the off season. Mm-hmm. It was like an absolute no brainer. and then like I maintain, I'm like, you like in general, like you put FCDC on pretty much anything, like it's going to fly mm-hmm. off the shelves. Do you recall the year that they were green, like the Kelly green that the camp was, and they said camper on the back?
Yeah. No, you'll remember that year better than anyone. I do remember the fiasco around that. That was actually Tom's idea, although I thought it was a good one. I did think it was a good idea. I was fully behind it. No, I was there that morning when you all revealed your staff shirts. Yeah.
A microcosm of boy, did we think that we could do whatever we wanted.
I mean, I was not a camp kid growing up, so I didn't have the feel. I didn't know like what that meant. I went 1 year to a camp. We met at school, right? Mm-hmm. So my first year, I was right out of college. I got a job in Medfield teaching at the high school phys ed.
Sure.
And he was at the elementary school teaching phys ed. And so we met at the staff meeting on the very first day. Actually, before we met in school, we met at double sessions, actually. I was coaching field hockey. And he was coaching soccer. Yep. So the head field hockey coach brought me around to introduce me to all the other coaches during doubles. And she brought me over to the Wheelock Fields, and Tom and Bill were there. I don't know if you know Bill Pope, but he worked at camp also. He ran the theater, and I think he did another area as well. Mm-hmm. And so we met right there, and a kind of a sweet little spot that now will go public for the very first time that I think only Michael knows. I think Michael's the only person we've ever told. Tom doesn't know I'm saying this.
Oh, no.
So that was in 1984 when we met, August of 84. And we, to this day, still mark the spot where we first met.
Oh, that's like, adorable.
Well, like, you could see it if you were there. And we've never told anyone. We just go every year and do it again. And
that's awesome.
It's pretty neat. Yeah, the spot where we met. So
that's very
cool. Pretty romantic. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So we met that day, and then we were colleagues and we coached basketball together. And I kind of fell for the boys, to be honest. Jesse was like 11, I think, and Sam was 7. Mm-hmm. And they were just, you know, he was a single dad and he had those boys with him everywhere. And I got to know them and I just loved their relationship together. So I fell in love with all of them. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Tom, oh, and he's got two boys. Like, it was a package. And so I knew about camp. And I knew that then they were talking a lot about camp, but I wasn't understanding really like what we know of. Right. Right. So I had a summer job already. It was my third year. I was going back to Virginia to work for the National Park Service, and I had to leave him, and we were both devastated that I was leaving. So one of the things that we did to like let the other one know we were thinking about them mm-hmm. was to call them on the phone. Now, there were no cell phones. You couldn't text and go, thinking of you, right?
Right, right.
Is we would call the other one, let it ring one time and hang up. So I would call camp, and he shared the office with Rose, right? And Gail was always there, and Sue.
Oh, no.
And you could hear the phone ring, right, at camp out loud.
Yep.
So the phone would ring one time and then disconnect. And
oh my God.
After a while, people started to notice, like, why is the phone, you know, they just assumed it was
getting pranked.
Or something. But we would both, you know, try to, oh, I don't know what it is.
So yeah.
I'm sure he never told them. I'm sure he never told them it was me.
Gosh.
But a funny thing that happened, and it was so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing, is we would send each other, you know, as people do, love letters and cards and things like that. But sometimes we would send them to work. So I sent one to camp. I hadn't even met Gail yet.
Right. Oh,
God. And I didn't know she opened his mail.
Oh, jeez.
So I found out when the next time we talked on the phone, he's like, yeah, Gail brought me your card. It was really nice. And you know, she just opened all the mail and would bring Tom whatever he needed.
Yep.
And I didn't know. So first time I mailed to 1221 Pond Street, got read by Gail first. So.
Perfect. The way it should
I don't
be.
Remember what I wrote, and you know, I'm sure it was fine, but that was our introduction to one another.
Yeah. How long after, you kind of got immersed into the camp, everything, were you actively recruiting kids from Medfield to work there?
Oh, immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. Every year, you know, every time we had somebody, and we taught together at that point, Tom came up to the high school.
Okay.
So we were co-teaching, at the high school. And so we could collaborate on that. Totally. We'd just look across the gym and we talk about kids like, you know, so-and-so would be really great at camp. Great. So we were, full-time.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's a testament. You look back in time at who the counselors have been, particularly coming out of Medfield, where it's like, where you guys can, you're their teachers, you know them very well. And, and this has kind of been like the, you know, in the whole podcast, just kind of digging into like, what is the secret sauce, right? But like, you were there to kind of help build it, right? To be like, this is the type of person that we need at camp. And I think it's really cool that it just, there's no like handbook on it or like what would be good, but like, you know, these like good kids.
I mean, somebody who's fun, someone who's fun to be with, who's responsible.
Yeah.
Helps others, you know, someone who's helpful, kind, and fun.
Right.
They could be a top student and super straight arrow, but not the top credentials, you know, we're looking for people who we think would add value, add fun to camp.
Right.
So that's pretty easy to see, right? You can see it. I'm sure growing up, you've had friends who are like, oh, this friend would be really good at camp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a feeling you get.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And I have actively tried to recruit some of those friends. I can't remember when, but I remember there was a summer perhaps that you like subbed in for maybe a junior camp counselor, like like way back.
Bonnie had to go to a wedding or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you got, it was like for a week.
A week. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that your first time? Like
that was my first time. Yeah. I did another sub, and we were trying to think of who I subbed for, and it wasn't for a whole week. So I don't remember. I did it a few times. That was before they had the counselors.
The floaters.
Floater. Thank you. It was before they had floaters. They would need someone to sub for a head counselor. So that's what I did.
Okay.
But then once they had an assistant who they really wanted to give a head job to, but there wasn't a head job for them.
Yeah.
They were able to give them that. Yeah. And that ended up being such a great model.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Somebody who definitely deserves to be ahead, but there just isn't anything right now. You'd be next, you know, next in line.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Jack as a baby, one of the things that was so sweet, he was born August 28th. So I was very, very pregnant at the end of summer. Mm-hmm. And the staff threw a surprise baby shower for us down in the stable, which was so much fun. And I still have the raccoons and, you know, some of the cute FCDC baby clothes. I have to go up and pull them out. I saved them.
You did work a full summer on campus 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2017. Yeah.
And this was a big year because why?
Well, it was a big year because Tom and I knew that it was going to be his last summer. And so, So we wanted to do something really special. We wanted to share in it together. Mm-hmm. And even though I'd been at camp all those years, you know, I'd never actually done that.
Yeah.
And he needed an arts and crafts counselor. And I was like, I'm not artistic nor crafty.
Yep.
But we went up to PEI for family vacation between school and camp. And I just went and raided the arts and crafts barn and went through stuff and went through everything with Sue. And I'm like, what can I take in practice? So I learned how to make friendship bracelets, and I brought GIMP, and I brought all sorts of stuff up there, and Annika and Sarah helped me. And we, I learned how to do that. And he gave me really great assistance.
Yeah.
Very strong assistants who grew up at camp, who knew how to do everything.
Yeah.
And I was the adult in the room, you know, I did all the planning and preparation, but they were the ones to say, how you put the cutouts of the bear together to make it look like a bear.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause to me, it's just a whole bunch of circles.
Right. Yeah. Got three brands.
But it was really a lot of fun. Yeah. I loved it. And honestly, it made me wish I'd done it sooner.
Yeah,
it did. It made me wish I'd done it sooner. And I remember thinking, like, hey, if this happens again, like, I would do it.
Did you have a tribe at Arts and Crafts or no?
I didn't. I wish I had, just for the fun of doing that. But I understand why they didn't have a tribe.
Yeah.
Because and I ran up a playground.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did. Yeah. I ran up a playground. So I would have liked to have done it, but that was fun too, because you get to hang out and play with all the kids. And
yeah,
there's something to that, that was really fun too.
Yeah, we said so. So Upper Playground is new as of like when I worked there 20 years ago. What a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
What a great idea for there to be two playground options, one like more chill and one dodgeball, right?
Or So
my son, who's like super athletic, his first choice is always lower play. When it was 150 degrees every day this summer, sometimes they didn't have it. And he was like, no, I still like it. Like, I like upper play. They like to vacuum the rug.
I loved vacuuming the rug. Everybody loved vacuuming.
Like the number one.
But
that's one of those things that just, it like keeps evolving. Like the evolution of camp, like, okay, like we need to have a place for kids who don't want to swim. We'll put them, you know, they go to games, and then, oh wait, they might not want to do that. Like, all of these things just like making it better and better. So it's just,
No, I think it added a nice dimension. There'd be kids that would run to go get those games, and it was good for them to have some downtime. I don't know. I think it was just the relationship with the kids. You know, I never knew the campers. I only, you know, and so that was really neat.
Yeah.
And I had kids of some of my students.
Oh,
you know, in camp, and that was neat.
Oh, that's great. Well, look, I mean, it's never too late to go back.
Never too late.
That's great. So I think Carrie told me this. So only you and Tom knew it was going to be his last year.
Nobody else knew. I mean, he and Sam had been, and Gail knew, obviously, that at some point, you know, Sue and Bill and Sam would be the ones, you know, but it wasn't planned out specifically. It was just kind of this assumption. It wasn't anything that was like written out or spoken as if it's happening. It was just, you know, Sam was a natural and we're just incredibly proud of him. He is just absolutely no surprise, but he is just blown the doors off of it. And it's just, he's just amazing. He's an amazing person. And we're incredibly proud of him. And Carrie too, for what she's contributed to camp. She's just, we love her so much. And she's just so terrific and really helps him a lot, you know? So we knew that, you know, the time would come where Tom would be ready to give it up. We didn't know when it was going to be until like 2015. We started to talk about, like, do you want to make 16 your last year? We definitely didn't want anyone to know, because we didn't want it to be a big thing that it's like Tom's last year. Yeah. We didn't want to distract from camp itself. So even Sam and Carrie didn't know. That Sam might have had a guess or an inclination.
Yeah.
But it was never, ever discussed.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we told them first.
You had three of the four boys working there, right?
So At that point, just Sam and Michael, but Kerry worked that summer.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, Jack was already out of college and had like a real job and, you know, where he didn't have a summer spree.
Yep.
So, so Kerry was there. She did ceramics that year, which was great.
Yeah.
So it was Tom and Kerry and Michael and I and Sam. So super proud of the work Michael's done at camp too. He was so creative with video. And he's really enjoying games. But I was in awe, really in awe of what he and his partners all came up with, you know, all of them. He worked great with Kyle, great with Jess, great with Lauren. I mean, everybody was just, I was so impressed. I was so proud of him and I couldn't wait to get to the video every week, you know, and greet him with a hug at the end. You know, he's his best self too at camp, right? We're all our best self at camp. So
100%.
I
remember stopping in one day when he was in video. It was a Friday and it must have been like right after he started teaching, but he was like, I forget the name of the character or whatever, but it was like explaining physics to children. And it was like, the kids were swinging and it was like a real lesson. And I was like in the back going, well, I've learned something. This is amazing. And I remember just being totally blown away. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. He's a wonderful teacher. He's a really wonderful teacher.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And part of that is because of camp, right?
Yeah. You guys worked with Kerry, right?
Yes. Tom did.
Okay.
Tom did. Yeah. Okay. Kerry was she got a teaching job at Wheelock, which is a second and third grade school at the time. Tom had been at Wheelock for a long time. It used to be K to six or one through six.
Okay.
And she got a second grade teaching job. And then she was third grade, I think. Yeah, then she was third grade. And so Tom met her. She would walk her kids down to the gym.
Nice.
And so I remember him coming home saying, there's this new teacher at school. She's so sharp. She's really quick. I think Sam would really like her.
Ah!
And meanwhile, he's saying the same thing to Sam, you know.
Yeah.
And one day he said something to her and he'd said something to Sam and she's like, yeah, here's my number. He can call me. And so Sam called her one day. We were at a Memorial Day thing and the rest is history.
She and Sam together are perfect, but, and she on her own, I would imagine would have been heavily recruited just to work at camp anyway.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tom would have, I'm sure if he hadn't said, I think she'd be great for Sam, he would have said she'd be great at camp.
Absolutely. Right?
And he might've even said that. I don't recall it, but I'm sure, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because you're always looking for adults at camp, you know?
Right.
As well. You know, teachers, not just students. My perspective of Tom is so different from all of your perspectives of Tom.
Right.
And I eventually had the perspective of employee at the very end, the very last year for the first time. So I think we talked about, you know, what it was like for me working at camp, but we didn't talk about, you know, that dynamic at all, which I just think was so interesting. You know, we'd always work together at school.
Right.
So being partners in work was not anything unusual or new for us, but he has so much integrity about his work. Like he approached camp as if it was, and it was, the most important job in the world. Like there's no job in the history of the world that was ever more important than program director to Tom Cowell, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is someone who taught an entire career and loved it and was a coach in two varsity sports and had a lot of success and loved it and was an athletic director for, you know, 12 years, 13 years, something like that, and loved it. You know, he did a lot of things and did them really, really well. Not perfect any more than anybody else, but there was no job that he did that was more important than this. And he threw his whole self into every little decision. And some of those decisions came really quickly, like making the schedule, like not the original schedule that took weeks, but
right,
you know, the daily schedule, right? Like what to do for the daily schedule. And sometimes he just would sit down and the ideas would just roll. And it would be time for camp to start and he'd already have everything out and he'd be ahead of schedule. And then of course there's days, you know, that just like writing, right? It's like the ideas just don't come as easily and you go have a conversation with someone and boom, it ignites something and it's there.
Right.
But I think that was the thing that I really respected so much about him is that he threw his whole self into it. This was not just a summer job.
Yeah.
Any more than for you, it was just a summer job. You know, yeah, it was right. Your summer job while you were in school. Yeah. It was just a summer job. But when you were there and everything was ready, right? You show up the first day and all the tables are in place and the program's ready and the packets are done and, you know, the counselors show up and, you know, it's been weeks and weeks of preparation, never mind the hiring and all that. So it really went year round, not full time year round, but he loved every aspect of it.
What's kind of like the cycle of the year? Like, when does it really start to kick in that, like, you can see Tom, like, starting to shift the focus?
Well, he also was retired for many years from school and continued to run camp. So that was his full-time job then.
Awesome.
So, that's the dream. Started a lot earlier. That's the dream, right?
That's the dream.
So he didn't do it full-time, but it was his only job. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So once he retired, he started a lot sooner because he was in school until June. And so he was just, you know, like Sam is just about wrapping up hiring now. And this is pretty typical, you know, it varies. Sometimes it's a little earlier.
Sure.
Sometimes you have that opening, you know, late. But what would basically happen in the cycle is you'd have day 30. And then the next day he would go in and spend like half a day cleaning things up, organizing things, getting things put away, because you can't do it that day.
Yeah.
And you can't do it in preparation for that day. It's not like you can spend the last 3 days, you know, closing down camp before camp class, you know,
right,
it's all ramping up.
Yeah.
And that was always a nice time for him, being in the office and people stopping in and, you know, reflecting, and it's the day after. And a few counselors would be around cleaning up their areas that they didn't finish, waiting to get their paycheck, you know, something like that. And then we would usually like have a vacation for a few days, you know, and kind of put it aside.
Yeah.
And then because he never dealt with registration, that was all the, you know, Gail and the Rice side. It would really be like March that it would really ramp up, because college kids are coming home for spring break and they're starting to think about their summer plans. He might say, you know, all year round we're talking about ideas and things, but in terms of the actual work of preparing for camp, I'd say March, April.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, here it is late May, and he's just finishing this year, Sam. But that was always very exciting. I mean, that's the most exciting thing, is hiring your staff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because those are the people that are the magic. So
Yeah.
That's way more fun than making packets, you know?
Sure. I suppose. Yeah. So he shared with us this summer a little bit about like what his interview process would be like, because he had a specific idea of the type of person he wanted at camp. And, you know, that has reflected also in the culture. Do you ever remember him kind of coming home from an interview being like, we got one, like, this is, you know,
oh yeah.
Would he get like excited about that, or
super
like,
excited?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Super excited. And I can't bring up names, you know, but they're probably, it was probably Dave, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, absolutely. He would say, in my head, I hired this person as soon as they opened their mouth, you know.
That's great. Yeah.
But he had to make sure that like they didn't have a felony or anything like that. But
sure. The details, as we call them. Yeah.
Yeah. The deets.
Oh man.
He'd be very excited. And you know, that in our work, I mean, hiring new teachers is the most important job we have, right?
Right.
Is hiring good people. And it's the same at camp. Tom is very, very creative minded.
Yeah.
And he'll hear, all he needs is a spark. See something.
Yeah.
Something. He'll see a person dressed in weird clothing walking down the street. He'll go, that's our theme.
Yeah.
No, that's a theme idea, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you would do that now too, right? I mean, if you were in that role, you would be able to do the same thing because your mind is so you know, use it. So I think there isn't one pattern for that. I think he'd have a lot of main ideas, and then he'd go in that couple weeks before camp. And that's when he would start to go in. You know, as soon as school got out, he was in every day. And that's where any holes would get filled, like any themes or big ideas. The carnival at that time, you know, anything that had gaps would get filled in then. And then, of course, it all changes as the summer goes on and things happen at camp, and there becomes a culture around some song or some penalty or some event or something. And then things just change. But
One of the things that always was like noticeable that I can fully appreciate now, you know, he was always changing it up. And in the moment, we were, you know, so protective of the place. We're like, no, you know, this isn't the way it used to be, or we've never done this before. But he always came in and was like, hey, we're going to try this thing this year. And, you know, we would do it because we, well, he was our boss and we trusted him, right? We're like, all right, well, like, if you believe it. And then, like, that's how some of these, like, amazing things that became their new traditions happened. But, like, it was, you know, it was always him. I mean, you know, given it's his role, but who would come in and be like, no, that, like, we're going to try something new every year. And even though camp feels the same every year, there's a little piece that was a little bit different that kind of helped it just to, like, grow and grow and grow. And I think that, like, that's one of the things that just, it's, there are so many things to appreciate about him in that role that, like, you can almost, you can dissect it down to, like, a molecular level and be like, oh, it's like, everything was planned. And, like,
that's what I'm saying. Everything was done with specific intent, like, to keep you fresh. It was all designed to keep you fresh because it's so easy to settle into a comfort space, a comfortable space. And as soon as the counselors get comfortable, it's like, get your assistants doing stuff, CIT, you know, can you go get this? Can you go get me a coffee? You know, can you go get me this? And then pretty soon you lose the vibrancy of what makes camp special. And so he knew that. So he knew that he had to keep things fresh for you guys. In order for all of you. And of course it keeps him fresh too. I mean, it's not like, it's not for him. But new things, new staff, new ideas create excitement. And some, and when they work, it's great. And when they don't, you move on.
You don't, or you know, don't work, and that becomes a thing itself. The same thing. It's like, it's a, it's like a magic.
Like the blindfolded football. I don't know if you ever saw that. Did you see that one?
No.
I don't know if Sam's doing that, but if he is, I'm sure it's been tweaked so that it's better. But so there's a blindfolded quarterback with a receiver. Somebody, the blindfolded quarterback says, you know, hey, the receiver takes off and they're going, and the quarterback throws the ball and they try to catch it. And it's like nowhere even close. I mean, there's no possibility of that ever connecting. You know, that was one that, like, he tried it, he tweaked it, and whether it's going on, you know, it might be the best thing they do now. I'm not, I don't think so, but but it would have required a few little tweaks, maybe like a limit of 10 yards downfield or something like that.
For example, I remember I was talking to Kat Nutting, and it was after my time. They did like a horse race counselor competition, and it was, they might still do it now.
The knee pads.
And he's like, he was just like so dedicated to it. And like, you know, the kids had like their knees were all scraped up, and, and he's like, next year we're going to tweak it. And like the you know, being devoted to the idea became a thing where, and it just like, so it almost didn't, whether it works as intended or not is moot. Like, it works because it's something to talk about one way or the other.
There were so many. Now, first of all, I'm sure there's tons of stuff that counselors did that he didn't know about, that we, that like we didn't know about. I mean, that.
I think that's probably right.
But there were so many things that people didn't know that we knew about. And that we never let on that we knew about. And to this day have never said that we know about some of the things. So it was really, it was fun for us to hear you guys talking openly about the trips to the island. But then there were also, you know, some regular, I'll call them counselor gatherings that went on.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, really fun times together that, you know, it was kind of like a secret that we knew the secret, but didn't tell the secret.
I think there are probably some people listening, scratching their heads right now, wondering what the Cowles might know about them in the
moment. And you know what? Everyone, it's all with love.
Yeah.
All with love.
Yeah.
All in the spirit of a good time.
Absolutely.
But the fun of it for us was knowing and smiling. And sometimes things would come as a result, but not be spoken about directly. Yeah. And I don't know if I can come up with one example, but like something that he knew about that happened, mm-hmm. and he would create a situation and use that information without telling anyone do something the next day, you know, or something like that. So, yeah. And the fun for him was in not disclosing it that he knew. So,
oh man,
it's kind of a mad way of.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I think you have a lot of people scratching their heads right now.
It's good.
Yeah. I think
nothing anyone has to worry about. Nothing anyone has to worry about.
No,
just
I think
fun times.
Probably thinking good along fun. The lines of like at Morning Flag being like, hey, we're going to do head, shoulders, knees and toes this morning. Yes. Here are a couple of counselors. We've decided to run it. Yeah. Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Sure. You're right on track.
That tracks. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we probably all maybe knew or wouldn't be upset. Right. If you guys knew,
right.
But that is, hey, it's good to hear we're all on the same page.
We're all on the same page, and it's all in the spirit of good fun. And, you know, we had four kids that went through as counselors. So, you know.
Sure.
And they were not the ways that we found out, by the way.
No, I fully believe that. I fully believe that.
That is 100% true. That was a lot of fun for us.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to the... like we're a family, right? We're a camp family.
Yes.
And I kind of think that's great.
I went to Springfield College and we have a Stiuka spring weekend. It's a big spring party weekend, basically.
Okay, sure.
And there's all sorts of very active things that we did. And one of them was the oatmeal pass. So I suggested that to Tom and he thought that sounded like fun. So my job was to make the oatmeal. And I think you know this from hearing the podcast. We actually cooked the oatmeal at home.
Yeah.
He'd bring the big pots home the day before. I would cook it all up, stick it in my car, or he'd come home and get it and carry it over there. You have to have two people carrying the pot because it was so hot.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, from having cooked oatmeal in this huge lobster pot on the stove.
Yeah.
Just buckets of the oatmeal. And it was quite a few years, more than I'd like to admit, before we realized you could just stick a hose in a bucket and you have oatmeal.
Yeah.
You know? yeah, definitely. So that definitely made its mark, I think, at camp and was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of gone because my understanding is it went away for a number of years and they brought it back this year with the 50th, but
right.
It's kind of developed its own, like, oh, do you know what oatmeal is? Or did you go, did you do it? Which I think is really great. It's like part of the canon.
One of the things that I love about the camp language is how people refer to things as like, oh, we're doing oatmeal. We're doing, you know, whatever the thing is they're doing. It's like, it's a verb, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you don't really need to say anything else. People just, they know and they're excited.
Right.
Just whatever.
Like at school, at college, no one said that. Oh, we're doing oatmeal. That wasn't a thing. Like we're going to do the oatmeal pass. Like that's how you say it. But at camp, it took on a life of its own. And that was really wonderful.
Well, you're right though. It is part of the camp language because the way the way that you interact with people from camp and particularly during camp is it's like it's its own dialect, right? Like you could piece it together, but if you don't go there, you don't know any of the antecedents. Like you're just I don't know what's happening.
Right.
What was it like that first summer totally away from camp?
It was definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Gail wanted Tom on site for at least the first two sessions. Hmm. And honestly, he knew that Sam didn't need us there.
Yeah.
That Sam was ready.
Yeah.
But he stayed for the first week,
mm-hmm.
and was there full time for the first week with Sam, just supporting Sam. Sam ran the show. In fact, that was when Tom was able to, I think the morning of the first session, was able to like turn the rein. He probably said, you know, good morning, FCDC, and said, here's your new program director, and introduced Sam that way. I'm pretty sure that's how we did it.
That's cool.
Yeah. And that was powerful, to use John's word. You know, that was amazing. And,
sure.
A real proud moment for us.
Yeah.
Because it was a very sad, sad moment when the kids were all hugging Tom on his last year, when nobody knew he was leaving.
Yeah.
And he knew, these are my last hugs. These are my last, not last hugs, but you know what I mean? These are my last campers in this moment. And it would have been different if other people knew, but the fact that nobody else knew, you know, he just turned and looked at me after that last, you know, bell.
Yeah.
And we were like,
End of an era. Of all of the takeaways of like, you know, we can all like stipulate camp is wonderful, full stop.
Yeah,
but like, what do you think like the best thing or things that it gives either the campers or the counselors or the community at large? Like, what's the best thing about it, I guess? And that could go in any direction.
It's actually pretty easy for me to answer. That's not something I have to think too hard about, because it's so big.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same for counselors as it is for kids. It's just because of your age, it affects you differently. But the idea that, you know, everyone is accepted, that you can be your true self, that you can be goofy, that you're not going to be insulted. You know, at school, the number of times kids will just, you know, rag on each other. And as soon as I say like, hey, that's not nice. Oh, I'm just kidding, he's my friend. You know, as if like, he's my friend, so I can rag on him, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen at camp, and it makes it so special. And so it's a feeling that you have when you're there, that you're secure, that you're safe, that you're wanted, accepted, you know? So even for the adults, you know, you don't have to think about like, what am I going to wear to camp from the perspective of like, so that I look good, you know?
Right.
It's like, what am I going to wear to camp so I can be my true self? What am I going to wear that's crazy? What am I going to wear that's fun and different that I never get to wear anywhere else, you know?
Right.
So I didn't get to shower this morning. No big deal.
Right.
Ponytail, ball cap,
yep.
Day at camp, you know?
Yeah.
It's you. It's not your polished, perfect self.
Yeah, that's kind of the essence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I'm kind of figuring out is like, I don't have to get so caught up in like defining it, like having a dictionary definition of what it is, because it is mm-hmm. these kind of like the essence of it, like the magic of it.
The magic,
all of the things, all of the details, all the examples that everyone gives, like that's it. Like there's no way to boil it down.
I remember the first time I noticed that.
Mm.
I was sitting in the back at Sing. I think all the big moments happen probably at Sing, because where else do you sing out loud in front of other people when you're a kid, other than like in music class or chorus, you know, unless that's a thing that you're doing
right.
by choice.
Right.
And I remember Jesse was one of the older tribes, and I don't remember which one at the time, but, and he was sitting in the back and he was very quiet at home,
mm-hmm.
but it was Sing, and all the kids in his tribe, including him, were all singing. They were singing along.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, 13, 14,
yeah.
you know, 13 yep. years old. And I'm like, look at all these kids. Cause I'm in the back, right? So you're seeing all the kids in the back.
Yeah.
No surprise that the kids up front are singing, because that's a thing that little kids do, but you don't see 13-year-old boys sitting around singing along to, you know, goofy stuff.
Silly songs.
And it was silly songs. And it was in that moment that I realized that it's something special that it brings out of you, that the rest of the world that you go through, you know, you move through the world, it doesn't bring that out in you.